Trend number four, the rise of the new American community. For decades, the trends editors have highlighted the absurdity of the great urbanization trend. So-called experts insisted on conflating the mass flight from rural poverty in the developing world with the continued growth of certain dense urban centers in the OECD countries. Much of the confusion arises from the biases of analysts in parsing the data. For instance, as explained in prior trends issues, the often quoted assertion that dense urban areas are exceptionally productive in economic terms turns out to be untrue when the data is accurately parsed. Nevertheless, for a generation, a procession of pundits, public relations agents, and real estate speculators have promoted the notion that our future lay in dense and politically deep blue urban centers, largely on the coasts. In fact, in the midst of the financial crisis just a decade ago, suburbia's future seemed perilous, with experts claiming that many suburban census tracts were about to become the next slums. Specifically, the head of President Obama's Department of Housing and Urban Development proclaimed that sprawl was now doomed and people were moving back into central cities. Of course, that wisdom came from the same administration that told us you can't drill your way to energy independence, and those U.S. manufacturing jobs are never coming back. And notably, that idea was always overwrought with enthusiasm. But now, with the COVID-19 pandemic heavily concentrated in these urban centers, the case for densification promoted by urban supremacists has lost a lot of its former luster. Why? Because, by some estimates, the death rate in large urban counties has been well over twice those of high-density suburbs, nearly four times higher than lower-density ones, with even larger gaps with smaller metros and rural areas. The pandemic has been toughest on those areas that suffer what demographer Wendell Cox called exposure density. In the worst case, which is in New York's outer boroughs, this pattern is exacerbated by living in crowded apartments, walking packed streets, traveling cheek to jowl in the subway, and then being forced into a crowded workplace. This could explain why sprawling, large, and relatively less dense urban areas in Texas, California, and Florida, each with its own pockets of poverty, have also experienced far lower infection and fatality rates than New York. As in so many other aspects of life, the COVID-19 crisis has brought to the forefront both threats and opportunities which most people had never considered. And those new insights have combined with well-known concerns to make people rethink many aspects of life. A recent Harris poll suggests that nearly 40% of urban residents are considering a move to a less crowded place. And, according to the National Association of Realtors, since the pandemic began, more people are seeking out single-family houses with such things as yards and workspaces. Mass transit, a critical component in the urban supremacist calculation, seems to be particularly out of favor. Already declining or stagnating around the country before the pandemic, mass transit has taken a particularly nasty hit, with more people than ever looking for alternatives, especially telecommuting. According to Gallup, 60% of people now working from home express a preference to continue to do so for the foreseeable future. These findings don't represent a break with the past, but rather an acceleration of pre-existing trends. In contrast to 2001, when New York was last under assault, the city is now losing population and suffering mounting out-migration. The same dynamics are already being seen in our two other large metropolitan centers, Chicago and Los Angeles. Increasingly, migration trends favor sprawling Sunbelt cities such as Austin, Dallas, Orlando, and Nashville. And more recently, Americans have been heading to even smaller cities. The fastest growth in domestic migration, notes demographer Wendell Cox, is now to cities with less than 1 million people, a dramatic change from just a decade ago. In virtually all areas, with the notable exception at least so far of New York, an increasing share of population growth has also shifted to suburban locales. The new data shows that the metropolitan statistical areas, or MSAs, with over 1 million population, have seen their annual net domestic migration plummet from an average annual gain of 68,000 from 2010 to 2015 to an annual loss of 167,000 from 2015 to 2019. Cox recently reported that within these major metropolitan areas, migration has increased strongly from the central to suburban counties. At the same time, smaller MSAs and areas outside MSAs are doing much better. Some of these are in the smallest population categories and are adjacent to the retirement communities that have attracted so many new residents, principally in Florida. The strongest net domestic migration performance is in MSAs with from 500,000 to 1 million in population, and those from 100,000 to 500,000 population have done nearly as well. Both categories have experienced big gains in net domestic migration since 2013. MSAs with from 50,000 to 100,000 population, which hemorrhaged residents for years, have improved and have begun to gain net domestic migrants. Meanwhile, MSAs under 50,000 and areas outside MSAs are still suffering modest losses while doing much better than earlier in the decade. Both of the smallest categories are also attracting hundreds of thousands more in net domestic migrants than the largest MSAs. Among America's 926 MSAs, the 10 leading net domestic migration leaders from 2015 to 2019 include none with populations above 500,000, and all 10 are in the South or West. Among the MSAs over 1 million, Austin continues to have the strongest net domestic migration, at 1.68% annually from 2015 to 2019. All but two of the top 10 large MSAs were in the South, joined by Las Vegas and Phoenix from the West. And notably, the top 10 had higher annual gains from migration from 2015 to 2019 than 2010 to 2015. In contrast, the bottom 10 had larger net domestic migration losses in 2015 to 2019 than in 2010 to 2015. Importantly, the biggest losses were in San Jose, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Miami. That means the five densest major urban areas, as defined by the U.S. Census Bureau, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Jose, New York, and Miami, are part of this bottom 10. Notably, five of the six leading gainers among MSAs with 500,000 to 1 million people were in Florida: Northport, Sarasota, Lakeland, Cape Coral, Daytona Beach, and Palm Bay. These all benefit from low taxes, reasonable housing costs, and being attractive retirement destinations. Nine of the top 10 had more annual net domestic migration than in 2010 to 2015. Outside of Florida, the fastest-growing mid-sized MSAs of Boise, Spokane, Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Charleston, South Carolina, have diversified economies that seem well-positioned for continued growth. Two have particularly strong commercial bases. Fayetteville is headquartered for Walmart, the world's largest retailer, and Charleston has a huge Boeing assembly plant. Importantly, nine of the top 10 had higher annual net domestic migration in 2015 to 2019 than in 2010 to 2015. On the contrary, nine of the bottom 10 mid-sized MSAs had larger net domestic migration losses in 2015 to 2019 than in 2010 to 2015. The largest losses were in Honolulu, Bridgeport, Stamford, Syracuse, El Paso, and New Haven. What about smaller MSAs? The top MSAs in the 100,000 to 500,000 category are mostly strong retirement destinations, such as the Villages, Florida, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Punta Gorda, Florida, St. George, Utah, and Homosassa Springs, Florida. On the other hand, the top domestic migration gainers in the 50,000 to 100,000 category are not principally retirement destinations. Eight of the top 10 are within commuting distance of large MSAs. For example, the largest gainers were Jefferson, near Atlanta, Granbury, near Dallas-Fort Worth, Fernley, near Reno, and Shelton, near Seattle. Only Cedar City, Utah, and Statesboro, Georgia, are not within commuting distance of a larger MSA. And notably, nine of the top 10 MSAs in the 50,000 to 100,000 category had higher annual net domestic migration in 2015 to 2019 than in 2010 to 2015. The Pacific Northwest dominates the category of fast-growing MSAs under 50,000 people with 6 of the top 10 positions among the smallest MSAs. What's this telling us? Even prior to the COVID-19 crisis, there was an unprecedented switch in growth patterns from the largest metropolitan MSAs to smaller MSAs, as well as areas outside MSAs. Now, with the greater interest in working from home, triggered by virus-related lockdowns, U.S. population dispersion could accelerate, further transforming the economic, social, and political dynamics of the nation. Given this trend, we offer the following forecasts for your consideration. First, over at least the next 5 years, high-cost tech hubs like Silicon Valley, Seattle, and New York City will experience a major exodus of talent. A recent survey of thousands of San Francisco Bay Area tech workers found that 2/3 would consider leaving the region if they were given the option to work from home permanently. The survey asked 4,400 tech workers, including 2,800 in the Bay Area and 1,600 elsewhere, for their thoughts on working remotely and how it would affect their choice of where to live. The pandemic has forced companies around the world to abruptly transition to an entirely remote workforce. This has made workers increasingly question whether they want to deal with the high cost of living, a major housing crisis, and terrible traffic. Furthermore, with offices, shops, bars, and other amenities off limits because of the pandemic, many tech workers say they have no reason to stay and are considering leaving the region. And some real estate professionals in rival regions have said they've seen an uptick in interest. Asked whether they would consider relocating if given the option to work from home as much as possible, only 34% of Bay Area respondents said no. About 18% said they consider moving out of the metro area but staying in California. 35.7% said they consider going elsewhere in the U.S., and just under 16% said they consider moving out of the country. Similar results were found for Seattle and New York, two other high-cost metro areas and tech industry hubs. There, 69.5% and 62.3% of respondents, respectively, said they'd consider leaving the cities. Second, California in particular will continue its quixotic pursuit of high-density urbanization, even as it makes the state ever more unlivable for most people. California lost 180,000 people in 2018 and 130,000 in 2017 due to state-to-state migration. And 2019 was probably worse. What's happening? Densification policies, in the name of saving the planet, are driving up costs, creating livability crises, and turning California into what demographer Joel Kotkin calls a 21st century feudal state. Median monthly rent for a Los Angeles one-bedroom apartment is $2,300, while it's more than $3,400 in San Francisco. Meanwhile, the rental price for a one-bedroom unit is $925 in Las Vegas and $945 in Phoenix. Not surprisingly, the most popular relocation sites for Californians from 2015 to 2017 were Washington, Texas, and Nevada, which do not have an income tax and are inexpensive relative to California. The tech and financial hubs, which face wrenching demographic change, will be unwilling to abandon their commitments to densification for at least 3 reasons. 1. A religious commitment to the green agenda, which prevents them from addressing the evidence objectively. 2. The vested interest of home-owning voters in keeping prices extremely high. And 3. The typical unwillingness of human beings to admit that they've been wrong. 3. The dispersion of tech talent to more U.S. locations will invigorate state and local economies across the U.S. As we've explained in previous issues, diffusion of the tech sector across the country would allow venture capitalists and entrepreneurs to get more bang for their invested bucks and give a wider range of people an opportunity to contribute their ideas. The result will be more inclusive and productive innovation, which enriches more people. 4. The post-crisis dispersion of population will diminish the power and influence of our largest and densest cities. With the exception of the Puget Sound and San Francisco Bay Areas, high-end job creation has been shifting to smaller cities like Austin and Raleigh. In addition to trends we've discussed, most large U.S. cities are now increasingly making a series of unforced errors in social policy. Increasingly radicalized city governments, for example in Seattle and New York, have pushed new businesses out with new taxes and regulation. Meanwhile, other policies have created streets filled with homeless people, drug addicts, petty thieves, and even sex offenders. Fifth, these demographic trends, now accelerated by the COVID-19 crisis, will profoundly reshape our political future. Consider the changing makeup of Congress. In 1950, the Northeast had 115 members in the House, but now it has 78, and will soon lose more. California, another blue area, was a gainer of seats for well over a century, but it is now growing below the national average, losing population, and likely to lose a seat for the first time. Meanwhile, the red states are gaining seats as follows. Texas picks up 3 seats, Florida picks up 2, Arizona, Montana, and North Carolina get 1 each. Colorado, which is purple, will add 1, and Oregon is the only blue state on the list to get 1. Obviously, these changes could help the GOP, but the migration of millennials out of the deep blue areas could give hopes of moving other states to the left, as we've seen in Colorado. And sixth, regardless of the actions taken by state and local government, the best days for California and New York City real estate are behind us. Like tulip bulbs and dot-com stocks, prices have become decoupled from long-term intrinsic value. Selling now and investing in equities probably makes the most sense. Florida and Texas real estate may also make sense, depending on the leverage used.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.